Amen. Turn from your hymnal to hymn number 417. Hymn number 417. And let's stand together as we sing this last hymn together, face to face. Hymn number 417. Amen. Great singing this morning. Please remain standing for scripture reading.
Thank you, Mr. Bowman. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll read responsively verses 1 through 13. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 13. Beginning on verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake it in pieces, and before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. Let's read 13 together. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account of Elijah as he ran from his troubles. And Lord, help us to realize that when the nights get long and dark and our patience grows thin, Lord, that you're there and that we need to just trust and obey. Lord, we thank you for your word, which always directs and strengthens when we allow it to. And Lord, we pray now for this word, the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, for our pastor, Holy Spirit, power upon him as he ministers to us. Help us, Lord, at this time just to put away the cares of this world, put away those things that are bothering us, and Lord, just concentrate on this lesson now. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And Lord, we pray for a blessing at this time. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Please be seated, Mrs. Judge.
If I only had one song that I could sing you, or story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross. The state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could sing of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood. About the cross.
Let's fill your Bibles this morning, please. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah has just come off a great spiritual victory. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we find that he has a standoff with Jezebel and Ahab. And you'll remember the story of how they went to Mount Carmel. And Elijah, it's hard to know, but it seems like he was feeling sorry for himself. He said, I remain a prophet of God. And crying out to the Lord that he was all alone. But on that mountain, God did a great work. Rained down fire upon that altar that had been prepared and doused with barrels after barrel of water. And God burned it all up, the stones, and licked up the water and everything. And God began to work and turn the hearts of the people, and they that were there slew the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And Jezebel, as you can imagine, that upset her quite a bit. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, Ahab and Jezebel got together. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Well, that's a pretty steep threat, isn't it? This wasn't just somebody angry and maybe one of the prophet's family members or somebody that was upset. This was the king and queen. This was somebody that had the ability to follow through with what they were threatening. Elijah must have felt like there's nowhere I will be safe. If there's anything we can take from this, we need to understand that we cannot rest upon our past victories. Life is often a roller coaster, and though we might find victory one day, it seems like there's always something around the corner. The devil's always after us. And as we think of these things this morning, I want you to direct your attention to later on. The Bible says that he ran from these problems. Pastor Glowacki prayed about that and picked that up, how Elijah was just running from these situations and running from these problems. And finally, he came to a cave, the Bible says in verse 9. And he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets of the sword. And here he is again, and I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You see, it's often after a great victory that the devil likes to come along and try to discourage your heart. And I couldn't help but think this morning of our group coming back from the help program. They saw God do some great things this last week, and they came back on a spiritual high, and I'm sure now that they're tired. Maybe they're worn out a little bit, and it's now that the devil would like to attack you. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Be sure, young people, that you stay in prayer. That you allow God to continue to work in your life and through your life. But you know, Elijah was no different. We see, first of all, in verse 3, that he was fearful. The Bible says he saw that. He arose and went for his life. He was afraid. Even the most mighty, powerful prophets of God get scared sometimes. And they fear things that the devil tries to throw at them. I'm here to tell you, I get scared a lot of times. There's a lot of times we get upset and we get fearful and we talk to the Lord. And I got to be honest with you, my prayer life, sometimes I'll pray and then I got to go back and pray again and apologize to how fearful I was to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't trust you. I'm sorry I wasn't, I seemed short, I was upset. It just seems like a vicious cycle sometimes. You can look at me funny, but you all know you do the same thing. We get fearful sometimes. And the prophet also, the Bible says he was exhausted. In verse 5, he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and he said, arise and eat. The Bible says in verse 6, he rose up and ate and he laid down again. He was physically exhausted. Do you know that when you're spiritually exhausted, it exhausts you physically as well? I'll be honest with you. I've over the years we've had to do different things in churches and stuff. And while we're there, you know, we're doing physical labor sometimes. We're whatever, you know, around the building, fixing things, building things, what have you. But I'm never so tired as when I have to sit beside the bed of somebody that's dying. That spiritual battle, that physical wearing upon your body as you pray through a night. That's far, to me anyway, it's far more strenuous than physical labor. It just drains you. And the prophet was exhausted. He had a great spiritual battle and a great victory through the Lord. But now he was tired. And he was fearful. And then, I think he was a bit fed up too. He was tired of being fearful. He was tired of the battle. He was tired of running. The Bible says in verse 10, he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for thy children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only. Didn't he just learn a little while ago he was not alone? As he stood upon Mount Carmel just days earlier, did not he learn that God was there? And not only God, there were others there that had to help in the battle to slay those prophets. There was those that had their hearts turned back to God. But you know, when you get discouraged and you get fed up and you get tired, you start feeling all alone. I believe that's the devil's plan, to divide and conquer. The Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever seen those National Geographic shows where a lion's picking off a wildebeest or a gazelle or something? You ever seen those? I watched them once where they're going after elephants. You wouldn't think that'd be a fair fight, a lion going after an elephant. But you know what they do? They separate. They look for the slowest one, the weakest one, the one that's falling behind. And so they went after a little baby one, and they got him. You know, they're smart how they can divide and conquer. I was teasing my son Austin one time. We were out for a walk out east, and we were going through this trail, and there was bears and moose and things there. And matter of fact, the RCMP were in town at where we were staying at one of the houses just up the street, getting a bear out of somebody's backyard one day. And Austin says, Dad, what if a bear comes out while we're on this trail? I said, well, I don't know. He says, do you think you can outrun a bear? I said, I only got to outrun you. That's it. He says, but Dad, he says, I'm just a little snack. You're a buffet. So he told me. I guess I deserved it. But you know, that's how the devil works. He just picks off the weakest, the slowest. And he waits to kick you while you're down. When you're feeling at your lowest. It's when the devil puts those nagging doubts in your head. And boy, it's easy to quote those scriptures, isn't it? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, but it's sure easy to say it when you're feeling good. But when you get down and low, boy, sometimes you just want to whack the guy that says that, don't you? I'm just being honest with you. You say, why'd you say that? That's what Elijah was feeling like. The Lord had an important lesson for him. He took him up onto Mount Horeb, and he took him to this cave. In verse 11, it says, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. Man, I don't know about you, but that'd be fun. I'd like to see the Lord pass by and that mountain shake. Wouldn't that be magnificent? The Bible says he began to pass by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, God has a lesson for all of us today if we'll look at these different elements. I'm not here to say that the wind or the earthquake or the fire had any special meaning, but this, God was not in them. And the lesson we draw from that is sometimes we wonder if God is still at work in our lives because we're so used to seeing big things happen. We're asking God for mighty miracles, and we're excited when our prayers are answered and we see those things happen in our lives, and we get to expect that. And by the way, I think you ought to expect God to do great things. I think we ought to be a people that says, I have a God that is bigger than this situation, and I believe that God is going to take care of it. But friends, what about those times where we feel like God isn't doing big things? I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe it's more of our perception than God's performance. But I want you to notice some scripture that God is just as real in the still small voice as He is in the great mighty miracles. A pastor that I know in Africa spoke to me and was sharing his story with me. He said there was a fellow that he had been witnessing to many times and sharing the gospel with him, and he was just angry about things in life. Just didn't want to hear anything about it. He says, but his wife came to the church and she knew the Lord, and he says, so I continuously went back, and I to honor her, I just kept going back and sharing the gospel with him, and he'd get angry at me and he'd get upset with me. And he says, but so finally, he says, one day, he says, there was a terrible lightning storm. And I know we have storms here, but friends, down by the equator, it's a whole different story. Monsoon-like winds and things. Now, the rain had not started, but lightning was just filling the sky. And this man got so angry, he was being witnessed to by the preacher, he was getting so angry, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb that hill over there, and I'm going to raise my fist to God, and I'm going to tell God, if you're real, kill me with a lightning strike. He says, and then I'll know. So he did. He climbed the hill, and he began screaming at God. He said he came back down that hill. No lightning had hit him, but he was white as a ghost. The preacher said, what happened? He says, I don't know. He says, something bit me on my hand. And he says, I just know that it's going to take my life. 3 days later, he died. See, God doesn't need lightning. God doesn't have to take an earthquake. God can just take a little minute bug to get your attention. And the man died. You see, Elijah had that kind of experience. And I think God was saying to him, Elijah, you feel so sorry for yourself. Up on the mountain of Carmel, you say, I remain a prophet. I'm the only one left. Here you come here and you're in the mountain, you're praying to me. I'm the only one that's left. He says, it's not true. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I have a remnant in Israel. He said, I want you to know that just because you haven't seen the earthquakes in a couple days, and you haven't seen the fire in a couple days, and you haven't seen this great wind in a couple days, I'm still here in the still small voice. I want you to get some facts from this lesson, if you would, today, and just take some of these principles with you. If you'll turn back to 1 Kings chapter 18, I want you to notice when victory occurred. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now, let me give you a little pop quiz if I can. Look at verse 40 with me. In verse 40, we read that the prophets of Baal, they were taken down to the brook Kishon by these people that bowed their knee to God. And the Bible says they slew them there. Let me ask you, is that when victory occurred? Did the victory occur when the prophets of Baal were destroyed? No, I don't believe so. Back up. The Bible says in verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Did victory occur when the people fell upon their faces and turned their hearts to God? I don't believe so either. I don't believe it happened there either. Now, you might, but that's fine. You can disagree. That's fine. But I don't believe it happened there. Back up in one more verse. The Bible says in verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice." Is that where victory happened? I don't believe so. I know I'm messing with your heads today. Here's where I believe it happened. Now, this is what I believe. Here's what I believe. Verse 36 says, "It came to pass at the time of the evening offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, that I am Thy servant.'" Here's where he got victory. "I have done all these things at Thy word." When did the victory come? When Elijah said, "I will obey." You see, none of the other stuff would have happened if he hadn't obeyed. Fire wouldn't have come down from heaven if Elijah said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever You want." Those people wouldn't have fell upon their faces before God if Elijah hadn't said, "I'll obey. I'll take You at Your word." Isn't it amazing that sometimes we look at the Word of God and we say, "Well, isn't that a great victory? Fire fell down from heaven and it licked up the stones and it licked up the water. Isn't it wonderful? All those people that were serving Baal fell on their faces before God and proclaimed Him to be the God. Isn't it wonderful that all those prophets of Baal got taken down to the brook and they were slew?" Friends, the real victory is when we obey God. That's where the victory came. The people said, "All this happened just simply because a man said, 'I'll listen to the still small voice. I'll obey God.'" I want to encourage you this day. I heard that this last week, over 20 young people accepted Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. I heard a little boy yesterday that had been riding his bike around and mocking a little bit because his mom said, "There is no God," was one to the Lord on the side of the street and prayed himself to accept Jesus Christ. You know, we love those victories. We like to see those things happen. But friend, let me tell you this. Victory comes when we obey the Lord. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Pastor friend of mine, I won't say his name because you all know him. I said to him, he's been laboring faithfully for a long time where he's at. The place he's at is a difficult area. Every place is difficult, I'm sure. But it's a difficult area and he's strived faithfully. And I said to him one day, I said, "Do you ever get discouraged?" He says, "No." I said, "You never get discouraged?" I said, "People come, people go. Struggling here?" He says, "No." He says, "Because I've learned that I'm going to be rewarded for obedience." He says, "I'm just going to keep knocking doors. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. I'm going to keep preaching the Word of God." He says, "If 100 come or nobody comes, I'm going to be obedient." You see, sometimes we look at the results and say, "That's where my joy is. I'm discouraged because there's no results. I'm discouraged because my neighbor won't get saved. I'm discouraged because I keep working faithfully and I don't see any harvest." Why don't you find joy in obedience? Just obey the Lord. That's what Elijah did. You might disagree with me, but I believe with all my heart the victory came when he said, "I've done all these things at Thy word. I've obeyed You, God." You know, if we would do some self-evaluating and say, "You know, I know things aren't perfect and I know that I've got some problems in my life and in my family and all the rest. But at the end of the day, I'm doing my very best to be obedient to God. I'm doing my very best. I might make mistakes, I might fail, and I'm a sinner, I understand. But I'm doing my very best to be obedient to God." Maybe you won't get feeling like Elijah did. Elijah needed to be reminded of that. God said, "Just listen to my voice. Don't worry about the earthquakes. That's not normal. Don't worry about the fire and the winds. Here's what I want you to do. Listen to my voice. Just hear me and obey me." I want you to notice something else about that voice in verse 12. In verse 11, we see the wind. I'm in chapter 19 again. In verse 11, we see the wind. And in verse 12, there was an earthquake and a fire. And the Lord was not in those things. But after the fire, a still small voice. I got thinking about this. Do you know that that voice was a voice that was just for Elijah? Just for him. Now let me explain what I mean. Every year about this time, we begin to watch on the news as wildfires take place in California and places like that. You understand what I'm talking about? And they just sweep across. And you know, you can see that smoke and that fire for miles. And you, have you ever yelled at the television set? Hey, you dummies, there's a fire coming. And they're watering their house, you see that? They're watering their car. They're trying to save all their earthly possessions. Now, I understand, I wouldn't want to be homeless either. But I'd rather be alive and not have a home than dead and burn up in it. And so they're out there, they're watering their house and watering their car. And you can see the fire coming up the hill and you just want to yell at the TV. Move! Run! What I'm trying to say is that the fire that God brought by this mountain could be seen for miles. Anybody that was within the region, anybody that was around Mount Horeb, any people that were out there, sojourners on that on those plains there, they could see that fire. I imagine when God passed by and that wind blew and shook that mountain, that wind was felt for miles. Perhaps people heard the noise of that wind and they looked up to the mountain and they saw it shake and rocks flying off the mountain. When the earthquake came, I imagine the tremors were felt for hundreds of miles. But what I'm saying is when God spoke in His still small voice, that was just for Him. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes when we look for the big thing, it's a wonderful blessing that that's shared with everybody. You understand what I'm saying? I like to hear testimonies. I like to hear what God is doing in people's lives. But you know that God is an intimate and a personal God. And what He was saying to Elijah on that mountain is, yes, I've done a great miracle. And the Bible says that they'll know that there's a God in Israel. And I want that to happen. But Elijah, sometimes I want it just to be you and me. Sometimes I just want to spend some time with you. And so I'll just speak in a still small voice. I want to really encourage you folks today. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the still small voice that burns within your heart. You say, well, I think it's important to have a good conscience. A Holy Spirit burning in your heart is far more important than a good conscience. A conscience is you trying to figure out what's right and wrong. That Holy Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong. Listen to Him. Obey Him. When things begin to burden your heart, act on them. I love it in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says when Peter preached the Word of God, the Holy Spirit began to prick in their hearts. And all they could say is, what should we do? We have to act on this. There's something we must do. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's saying, God saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to listen to me. God is an intimate and a personal God. You say, well, when does that voice come? It was interesting to me that it came after everything else settled down. It came during the quiet time. The voice didn't come during the earthquake or during the fire or during the wind. It was when after all that stopped and Elijah was alone with God. Now that's when the Lord speaks to us, is when we're alone with the Lord. We come to church and we say, well, preacher, I want to hear from the Lord. You ought to hear from the Lord every time you open your Bible and pray. You ought to have that intimate, personal relationship with Him. And that's what God, you say, do you find it kind of interesting that the Lord has to teach this to one of His prophets? I guess none of us are above it then. If anybody needs this reminder today, it's me. That the Lord just wants to have that relationship with us to the point where we just need to be quiet and be still and know that He is God. Spend that personal time with Him. And you know there was glory and power in the voice of God? When that wind came by and the rocks began to fly, what does the Bible say Elijah did? Verse 11. Anybody see it? No. After the wind and earthquake, what did Elijah do? Anybody see it? Nothing there. And after the earthquake of fire, what did Elijah do? Stumped? Me too. Verse 13, verse 12, and after the fire, a still small voice, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. You see what happened? The wind didn't cause him to fear God. The earthquake didn't do a thing. The fire had no effect on him. But the voice of God caused him to cover his face and retreat into the mouth of the cave. He was scared. You see, there's power and glory in the voice of the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I got some funny ones, I guess, are a little different than others. But I love it when those soldiers come into the garden to get Jesus, and he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they all fell down. That just tickles me. I like that. Jesus just said, "What you looking for?" And boom, four quaternions of soldiers, the Bible says, fall flat on their backs. The spoken word of the Lord has power. What I'm trying to encourage you in today is, folks, is that personal relationship with the Lord is so important. And you say, I want to see the Lord move. I want to see the earthquakes. I want to see the fire. I want to see the wind. The truth is, no, you don't. God wants to have that still small voice speaking in your heart that you might have a personal relationship with Him. Well, Pastor, we need to see results. We need obedience. If we will obey the voice of God, the results will come. The Lord will bless. But He's just looking for some people to be obedient to the Lord. You know, be sure to listen for that voice. Sometimes it gets quiet. I was watching something a couple weeks ago with my wife, and we flipped around and we found this show, and it was all these guys. I don't know if the show's good or not, but there's all these guys. They wear camouflage all the time and long beards and all that, you know. You all know what I'm talking about because you're all laughing. And the fellow was out on the boat with his wife, and his wife says, "I just love spending time with him." They're fishing and hunting shows, and I kind of like that stuff. So he says, here's what he says. So they cut away to her. She, "I just love spending time." And he's over there, and he says, "Well, we've been together for 48 years or something." He says, "I've just learned how to talk to her without listening to what she says." He says, "She just blah, 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 blah." And he goes, I go, "Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Miss K. Yes, ma'am." And so they showed her, and she's doing that. They're just on a little boat ride going up this river. And she's just, yep, 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 and just going on about, "Do you remember this?" And I mean, 48 years of history crammed into this. And he's just going, "Yep, yep, mm-hmm." Not hearing a word she said. You know, I'm afraid we've done that to the Holy Spirit sometimes. We hear that still small voice, and we just say, "I want to see the fire. I want to see results. I want to see action. I want to see the earthquake. I want to see the wind." I don't believe you'll ever see Him until you hear Him first and are willing to obey His voice. Would you listen? Obedience to the Lord is success no matter what the outcome. What if we turn back to 1 Kings chapter 18? And in verse 38, where the Bible says, "And the fire of the Lord fell," instead it said, "Then Elijah looked up into the sky and wondered where God was. And all the prophets of Baal rushed to the mountain and they slew Elijah and they carried his body throughout the streets and celebrated." What if the Bible said that? I would have to tell you this, he's still successful because he obeyed the voice of God. Don't look at the results and say, "I've had great success." I know for a fact there's a lot of people that can get a lot of results without being obedient to God and without being Spirit-filled and just working in the flesh. Why don't we examine our lives today and say, am I listening to that still small voice and am I obedient to Him? Am I doing what He wants? Am I an empty vessel just waiting to be used? Let's pray together. Father, help us understand Your Word and speak to our hearts. Father, there's some emphasis today on results and putting up bigger buildings. And Father, I believe that You have blessed us and we ought to take care of what we have. And If it helps us reach more people, then we ought to try to do some things. But Father, I pray, Lord, that we just need to learn how to be obedient to Your still small voice. That we need to listen to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. And Father, just say, yes, Lord, yes. Help us, Lord, we pray. Speak to our hearts during this invitation time. We'll give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The altar's open even now as our musicians come.